Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
In the New York Times on April 19th, Adam Grant wrote about a feeling you may be having. It wasn't burnout, he said. We still have energy. It's not depression. We don't feel hopeless. We just feel somewhat joyless and aimless. It turns out there's a name for this, and it's called languishing, a sense of stagnation and emptiness. It feels as if you're muddling through your days, looking at your life through a foggy windshield, and it might be the dominant emotion of 2021. Languishing is the neglected middle child of mental health. It's the void between depression and flourishing, the absence of well-being. You don't have symptoms of mental illness, but you're not the picture of mental health. You're not functioning at full capacity. Languishing dulls your motivation. It disrupts your ability to focus. It triples the odds that you'll cut back on work. And it appears to be more common than major depression. And in some ways, it may be a bigger risk factor. And lastly, he says, part of the danger is that when you are languishing, you might not notice the dulling of delight or the dwindling of drive. You don't catch yourself slipping slowly into solitude. You are indifferent to your indifference. If you're not languishing, you probably know someone who is. Let's talk a little bit about that with Mia Russov. She is a licensed clinical social worker at Northwestern Medicine. And Mia, thanks for joining us on WGN Radio. How are you?
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
You don't sound like you're languishing at all.
No, I'm not languishing at the moment.
Do you agree with that summary? Is that a thing, and is it happening out there?
I think it is happening, John. I think a lot of people are kind of at the peak of what they can handle. I think that's what he's describing. People have been overcome with the pandemic. And their window of tolerance, you know, where they're well functioning, has been taxed. It's been overtaxed.
Did this exist prior to the pandemic?
Yeah, I think it did. I do. In some cases, I think now it's just hugely more rampant because everybody is affected by the pandemic. So if you were just on the verge of holding it together, this pushed everybody over the edge.
Or maybe it got you to that point. You've got your toe in this water, and I presume it's because we were just cooped up. Is that what it is?
I think that's part of it that put people over the edge, the cooped upness. Quarantine helped nothing. It helped us. It kept us safe, health-wise, but relationship-wise, it didn't help. Relationships have certainly come under the microscope under the quarantine.
And maybe you just look in the mirror and go, I haven't got off this sofa for a day, or I don't seem to be motivated to do things I used to do. Am I describing some of it?
Yeah, for sure. You know, people have said that, you know, they've been in pajamas or haven't showered or don't change out of their pajama bottoms because there's no need to. And then that kind of replicates itself in it. And I could see that it's this languishing that Mr. Grant's talking about.
Are there symptoms? So say I'm treating this, at least personally, like it's a real thing. This is a medical, mm-hmm. mental medical malady. What are the symptoms? Mm-hmm. How do I know I'm there?
I think if you're not motivated, you're not engaged with things the way you had been, which is very tricky because we can't because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, becoming more irritable. You're with your partners, your family 24/7, and it's just a little too much.
And there's this sort of he used the word fog, and I think yeah. I think a lot of us can relate to that. Do you know what I mean?
I certainly do. Depression wise, we refer to that as anhedonia. It's the loss of interest or pleasure in things, and that it can become so bad that people are, you know, suicidal, or they just, you know, there's no point. Languishing is the very beginning of that. And he very well describes that indifferent to your indifference.
Yeah, yeah.
That is very striking for me.
Yeah, you're just kind of this Simpson-ish meh. It's just the way it is.
Yeah,
and you can hardly move your lips to say it. Okay, so having said that, what strategies do you have for us? What do we do about this?
I think one of the best things people can do, even at the beginning of the pandemic, you know, it was spring at that time, people got outside. I think that helps a lot. And now, again, it's getting nice out. Being outside is one way to immerse yourself into your surroundings, your present, if you will. He talks about flow, and it's difficult to get into flow, which is kind of like a runner's high or an artist's muse. Like, those types of things help you get out of this languish.
Right. But at a personal level, he said that, I thought this was interesting, he said that flow, which is a kind of engagement that you're describing, can be realized by doing a word puzzle in the morning or even diving into a Netflix series, which I thought put me back in the fog of the TV and the sofa. But he said there's some engagement and distancing from the general malaise that affects us. So he described means of flow as a good word puzzle or a Netflix show. Do you agree with that?
I do with a good puzzle or a Sudoku or something that's engaging your mind. I wouldn't suggest Netflix kind of uninterrupted binge watching, because then you're getting more into avoidant behavior.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if you're kind of stressed out and that's a way to kind of de-stress, I think that's fine, but, you know, in moderation.
He said give yourself uninterrupted time, and then he referred to a study where engineers at a company where they had you cannot interrupt the employees for any reason plan on Monday, Wednesday, and half of Friday, the productivity went up 67%. And so he said, allow yourself that as well. Whatever it is that you are doing in your life, allow some uninterrupted time. What do you think about that?
I think ideally, yeah, that would be great if, you know, you can dive into your piano lesson for 5 or 6 hours. I think that would definitely help the languishing symptoms. But it's also difficult because we got homeschool and virtual work and everybody at home. You know, that's lessening up a little bit. But I certainly see, you know, the other part of his comment there with that study, if I could find it. That people are better, they engage better in their work when they are productive.
Yeah, right. Well, that's why the takeaway for me to that point was, so he said, give yourself uninterrupted time. But I think it means finding a task that you can do and feel good about. And he talks a little bit about that. I presume you would agree with that.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And he mentioned, like, kind of easy attainable things.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Like a puzzle, like you can, you know, it doesn't take too long and you can accomplish it. And that gives you a little bit of a boost.
And not just a puzzle, like maybe it's okay, I'm going to clean the top shelf in that closet. And that and of itself is a task, I can do it. And so help me, how obvious these things seem. He says they will have a positive return. But you've got to engage. And I think the first step to that is knowing at least, okay, I'm not alone. It's not just me. This is a normal reaction to the pandemic. And so I've got to work at that. If you want to see the article, it's called There's a Name for the Blah You're Feeling. It's called Languishing, in the April 19th edition of the New York Times. Somebody who deals with this and people that find themselves in emergency rooms. Mia Russev is a licensed clinical social worker at Northwestern Medicine. Nice to talk to you, Mia. You and I need to talk again another day, maybe when I'm not languishing.
You're not languishing. You're at work. You're doing good.
Well, see, I am lucky. I have the job that is the epitome of engagement, but not everybody is so fortunate. So I'm glad that we could have this conversation. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, John.
Mia Russev.